We're not live tonight. Okay. So now we can say we really want to say Nancy. We're not live. A pleasure to open up tonight with Nechama. Once again, a beautiful poem, I'm sure.
I hope.
A very spiritual poem.
I hope so.
And we're in the middle of Mirat Hashem of writing a book of all her poems. And we hope to have it published and ready for Avinu Malkeinu on September 25th. Mirat Hashem.
Thank you so much. Yes, go ahead. Thanks to the rabbi, to Rabbi Wallerstein, who's been so supportive and wonderful to me, and to all of you who have been so kind and giving in their response to my work, because a poet, if he speaks only to the forest and the trees are the only one to hear him, is speaking to no one at all. And you are my audience, and I really appreciate everything that you've said to me and for the feelings that I've touched in you. Thank you. Thank you. Hashem's forgiveness. The nature of Hashem is mercy. The nature of Hashem is kindness. Hashem is expansive in his forgiveness to all. Yes, expansive in his forgiveness. Though it gives God sorrow to see the way we sometimes live, he'll always say, I forgive.
She became a Rebbetzin.
Absolutely.
Nancy became a Rebbetzin overnight.
Right, amazing.
You're an overnight, just overnight Kugel, and you're an overnight Rebbetzin. Okay. All right. But first, we'll do the Refuah Shleimas. Then we're going to read an email that I got this week. Refuah Shleima. Well, first of all, we're learning tonight Lili Nishmas, Sarah Batya Bas Ramesha, Refuah Shleima for Refuah Moshe Mazio Ben Golda, I think it's Musya, Reb Chaim Yaakov Ben Chesi Miriam, Chayana Ben Dovah, Yisrael Menachem Ben Batya Perel, Matl Basero, Fegasara Bas Rivka, Esther Rezo Bas Dabba, Sabal Shalamat Badaba, Moshe Bijavin Ben Dabba Chai Avram Yisrael Yeshua Ben Chayale, Rufol Chayim Ben Rina, and Pinchas Ben Sarah Yehudis, Moshe Yazid Ben Miriam, Menachem Ben Sarah, David Tuvia Ben Sarah, Nechama David Ben Sarah Nessel, Chana Basha Bas Sarah Nessel, Shirley Bas Rachel, Bella Bas Malka, Dinza Bas Edel, and anyone else who needs a Refuah Shleima. Esther Fega Bat Shandel, Leah Bat Esther Fega, Simha Bat Helene. Meir Ben Jamie, Avram Yishai Ben Aviva, Ruchama Chava, Bela Bath Ratzachana, Avram Moshe Mardachai Ben Sarah Bela, Rav Chaim Ben Chassi Miriam, Yisif Chaim Leib Ben Basidina, Ruvain Ben Tovachai, Shalom Asher, Yishai Ben Shifra, Chaim Meir Ben Leah, Gavriel Yosef Ben Sarah Crandall, Yoyne Meir Ben Tzivya, Liba, Rafal Yaakov Ben Tzila, Frumit Etta Bas Esther Rivka and Miriam Bas Bluma Rachel. Nechama Bas Sara, Rafal Ben Agul, Malka Dvorah Bas Miriam Marino, Kuzan Bas Sara, Sara Bas Inya, Ilana Bas Nadia, Moshe Ben Rina, Esther Fega Bas Shendel, Fal Moshe Ben Golda Mechilea, Fega Sara Bat Rivka, Sara Dina Bas Leah, Chol Yehuda Ben Chayach, Rosa Bat Adina, Mordechai David Ben Liba Zahava, Tzvi Hersh Ben Shendel, Rachel Bat Hana Edel, Fega Bat Miriam. And everyone else who needs a Refuah Shleima. And a nice little bracha. Turn over, sorry. Rivka Bas Rachelea and Menucha Bas Rachel. Okay. Yeah, sure. Yehuda Leib?
Bendina.
Refuah
Shleima.
Liba Bas Sara. Refuah Shleima. Okay. So, before I start this year, so I spoke, was it last week? Yeah, I think last week. So we spoke about this whole new law in New York State, which I think they just started to fight a little bit to have the people vote. I don't know if that's going to happen, but right now it's a law. So we read the Medrash, a very scary Medrash last week, that the world was destroyed when men were able to write Shtari Ksuva, marriage papers, one to the other. That's what Hashem finally said, that's it. By Sidoim, the same thing. So it's talking very scary, and we talked about, do we have to move out of New York because of this Gezerah? I asked my Rebbe, Rabbi Gamliel. He's not answering. He's pretty much said, I have to ask a Paisik. So I asked one Paisik this week, an American rabbi, and he was, no, we have to learn Torah, we have to do mitzvahs, and what they decide and what they pass as laws is not our business and not our problem. We have to do what we're supposed to do. That's what he said. But the question is still out there, because a place that has such a law is just, you know, it's just going to continue getting worse, worse, and worse, as it happened in the times of Noach. And it does affect us. The trees were affected in Maaseh Bereishis. It affects everything, the food that we eat. It affects our spirituality. It affects our davening. We're living in a place that's mamash tzedayim. It's really sad that there's hotels in Manhattan advertising special rates for, you know, marriages of men and women and women. And we're living in such a city. So I spoke about thinking about moving to New Jersey, to Lakewood, because New Jersey doesn't have such a law. And Governor Christie got up and said that even if his House of Representatives and his Senate of New Jersey would vote to allow this, he would get up and veto it. So I was like, wow, this guy's, you know, pretty good. Maybe we should just go across the border to Lakewood. But then I read this week that New Jersey, even though it doesn't have a law that officially they can get married, but it does have a law that they can legally live together, and it's recognized by the state so that they can get insurance together and all this other stuff. So it's just it's just technically that they're not married, but they are. So it's pretty much, it's being pushed already quietly that it's going to become American law. Not just one state or two states. So running to New Jersey is not going to help you. And running to California is not going to help you. So there's this lady that writes me every once in a while from Eretz Yisrael. And so she wrote me a 3-page email. And I feel that just like a good newspaper has letters to the editor, and you have to show the other side and other people's opinions, I can't just get up here every week and tell you my opinion. So even though it's a pretty scathing email to me, I'm going to read it to you. And I think she deserves it. She means it. But before I read it to you, I would like to say hello to Rafi Garson. I hope that Rafi Garson, who's the Rav of Or Yisrael Synagogue in Elstree, England. Elstree, he says, I can tell my Talmidot that Elstree is famous for its film studios. I don't know why I would tell that to you. Anyway, so he started a Daf Yomi. There's 2,000 families there. And he's doing amazing, amazing work. So, and he thanks Ornava and Torah Anytime for this. So he said, this thing is an iPhone, and I make fun of all the eyes, iPhone, iPad, I this, I that. He said he created something called iMishnah. I learn Mishnah. So he says they learn Mishnah every single day, so that he's trying to get the eyes, I guess, dotted correctly. Joke. Okay, nobody got it. All right, this is the email. By the way, I don't make any more jokes during my shiurim. Not after that 2 weeks ago. That's over also. I'm going to be serious. All right, L'chavad Rabbi Wallerstein. Good vach and a chodesh toiv. If the rabbi would please hear out the humble thought of a dedicated Talmidah, who is scared for the good but horribly misguided from communities of Chutz Laaretz. So she's in Israel, and she's writing all of us this email. It was last Tisha B'Av that the Jewish and I spoke about this last Tisha B'Av, that the Jewish world heard the prophecy of the Mushchis, who thought the Jews should get out of Palestine and go back home to Poland, Germany, and America. America? Most people do not remember the little additional word at the end of the infamous interview. Perhaps with the recent legislative passing of documented rights for, we'll just use Lashon Naki, for men marrying men in New York, the only place in the world outside of Israel that has the largest concentration of frum yidden, of religious Jews, residing. New York Orthodox Jewry should pay much closer heed. Perhaps 1 year later, the prophecy is more clearly defined. When the Jews felt at home in Poland and Germany, Hashem reminded us 6 million times, drilled over and over and over and over into our heads, that it was not our home. Perhaps Helen Thomas was a shliach's mouthpiece to remind the Jews of New York that New York is not home. Yes, the material benefits are abundant, but at what cost? That a Beis Yaakov girl or a Chaim Berlin boy should be waiting at a bus stop only to see advertisement of two men or two women locked in a romantic embrace? Rachmana Litzlan. How could any frum mother dare? Of course, everything's capitalized and underlined. How could any frum mother dare to take any chance of her beautiful holy gift of a child from Hashem Yisbarach seeing such filth? Are you all insane? Can you imagine the new line of toys, Ken and Ben, Barbie and Margie? Disgusting. And the good rabbi was sittering over the we last Hanukkah in his speech? This new law gives the we a whole new meaning that will destroy the fabric of our innocence, legamri. And to think that Rabbi Gamliel told Rabbi Wallerstein to move to Israel, and the good rabbi jokingly told his Talmidos, I knew he would say that, but I can't. If the good rabbi, she's talking about me, for all those who didn't get it. If the good rabbi wants to make a stand, don't rip your shirt, that's just symbolic. And in my humble opinion, a huge chil Hashem. Hashem doesn't need us to sit shiva for him or his world. That's ridiculous. Noach also had the bright idea. He couldn't be makar of one human over the course of 120 years. He couldn't convince one single solitary soul to mend his ways. He just went on building his boat and going about his business. He made zero impact, raised no talmidim, no followers, not for him and not for the Ribbono Shel Olam. So who did he end up giving his dynamic shiurim to? The behemoths, the cows, the giraffes, the donkeys, the monkeys. And what did he end up with? A broken leg by an impatient lion. Not too inspiring, is it? Hashem needs us to push through the dark times and show him that we love him, despite all the wrong that we see and do not understand. Let all the rabbis of New York stand up and verbally and tangibly correct the ches, of the chait of the Meraglim now. Hashem has sent us the opportunity of a lifetime. It is pure Hashgacha Pratis that the law was passed on Shabbos of Korach as a clear sign following Pasha Shalach. As our modern-day Torah scholars and esteemed best of the best of Torah observant Meraglim continue to despise the land and reject Hashem's gift of the return of his land to his people and the ingathering of all the exiles and their return to our land, Hashem has signed and sealed a new Haman in our midst. And now all of New York will be attending that party willingly, openly, proudly, because it is the law of the land. The land of America that Helene Thomas said Jews call home. The good rabbi once, I'm still good at this point. The good rabbi once related a beautiful share about Purim regarding the greatest love story ever told. The rabbi went on to exonerate the deeds of the bereft Persian Jews who turned to Hashem despite having him turn his back on them by signing their fate off to a monster. I have a much greater love story to remind the good rabbi and all of American and world Jewry who remain home in their host countries as baby birds happily covered in cow dung, which is a share I gave a long time ago. I don't know if you remember it. The good, they stood strong, steadfast, some with weapons, some with prayer books, some with clenched fists. They came from all walks of life, different traditions, different customs, different ideologies, but they all shared one thing in common, the memories. Each one could describe the smell of the breath of the ferocious dog with alarming, this is a word for you, Nechama. I think it's alacrity. Sorry. Zrizus. That could only be compared to the miracle of the 70 rabbis who, when placed in separate chambers, translated the Bible without one single deviation. Each one relate the cold Syrian's exact degree of temperature when the body begins to decompose. Each one could calculate the amount of force, pressure a Nazi officer needed to expend when beating a Jew to death. But most importantly, each one knew it. They knew it well. and with a distinct acceptance of truth and fact. They knew that their father in heaven had abandoned them. They knew that he had hid his face and allowed for Amalek to attack and massacre and commit the worst acts against his children in ways that made all the previous punishments seem as loving as rewards. This was the Parah Aduma at its worst, but also at its best. They knew their Tati had to punish them. They also knew that the relationship was over, decimated. He did not want his children anymore. His anger had been unleashed and there was no pieces to pick it up. He had rejected them. But this small band of survivors continued to love him. They ran to love him. Despite this horrible, relentless, apparent hatred toward them, they continued to love him and rely on him and thank him and praise him. But they also knew that they had to prove their love to him. Even though they knew he wanted nothing more with them, they loved him so much, and they knew exactly how to prove it. They would fight with every last breath of their emaciated bodies for the only last strand of hair that could bind them to their spiritual DNA and remain connected with their Tati. They were rejected by the world. They were rejected by their brothers and sisters. They were rejected by everybody. But together they would reverse that rejection in a miracle that was unparalleled in the entire history of mankind and would never be seen again. That miracle was the miracle of the pregnancy, the embryonic development, and long-awaited birth of Eretz Yisrael, and its 63 glorious years of agricultural, social, political, economic, technological, and most important, spiritual growth, the likes the world has yet to see. True love, it literally and tangibly knows no bound. Jews of New York, it is time to come home. Pack your bags, and yes, Lakewood, you can come too. But only if you hurry. Housing in Beit Shemesh is going fast. Thank you, Rabbi Wallerstein, for your time, effort, and concern in this matter, and allowing me to voice my opinion. Please tell the Nashim Tzidkaniyos that they too can be the impetus that allows our men to be Nigla from the modern-day Mitzrayim. MS. The paper goods from Amazing Savings are manufactured in Goshen, New York. And in Chaptis, I don't know what you were saying exactly. Yashar Koyach 100 million times for Arnava, and thank you, Rabbi Wallerstein, for all your mussar. Tiska lemitzvos l'shana haba v'Yerushalayim. Zaygezun kol tov mikol halev. And then she ends. You know, it's coming up the 3 weeks, and Shavuot Batam is. So she ends. She doesn't want us to sing Chas V'Shalom, Al Naharois, Brooklyn. I guess that's the chab. Anyway, I felt that I had to read this. She has written to me before, this lady, and what she is writing in this whole long email is that the Kibbutz Goliath, and I'm not saying that everyone has to follow this opinion at all. Every person has their rabbi and their way of looking at Eretz Yisrael, and you know, we need a lot of work in Eretz Yisrael too. It's not Mashiach. Mashiach's not here yet. There's a lot of struggling. She feels very much that if we're going to struggle, we should struggle there. Why should we struggle in New York? Why should we struggle in America? That if we have to struggle with all these different things that we're struggling, we should struggle there. So I felt very much that after talking last week about going to New Jersey, that of course the ultimate is going to Eretz Yisrael. And I hope that we go on our own and willingly, not because because we're forced to, but there's no question that this is the times of Mashiach, and it's going from state to end. It's going to end up in the country. So sooner or later, we're going to be living in a country where the law is that a man can marry a man and a woman can marry a woman. And that's a very scary thought. So each one of us, I feel, we have to think about this very, very seriously. And on top of that, again, I'll go back to what I said last week. I told my Rebbe this is what I said, and that is that each one of us has to bring more Kedusha into this Tamadika world, which is getting Tame faster and faster. So some of us have the power to get out and try to stop it. With those who don't, we're not politically connected or whatever it is. The way we stop it is by bringing Kedusha. And that's why the Rav here in America that I went to, he said to me, just tell everyone to learn more Torah and to be more tzniyistic. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will see how different we are. And Baruch Hashem, I don't know about you, but I've gone to a wedding almost every night since you're allowed to. And they're just every... And you know, you stand by a wedding. And Baruch Hashem, you know, most of Klai Yisrael are keeping the laws that we're supposed to, and we're marrying, you know, the way we're supposed to. And he said, Hariat Mekudesh is Limay Talmud last night. And I have to say, it's the first time in all the weddings that I've gone to that he put the ring on her finger after he said, Hariat Mekudesh is Li, and she just like broke into this crazy smile. And it was amazing. And I was thinking, as long as we keep doing this, we don't have to worry about New York's laws. As long as we bring this kedusha to the chuppah, and we continually do the right thing, then maybe this whole law and this whole thing that's going on in America is showing HaKadosh Baruch Hu how different we are when it comes down to it. There's a very famous medrash, which is a very comforting medrash. When Hashem wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael after we did the ego, you can't imagine what the ego was in Hashem's eyes, because we were just married. We married HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The chuppah was Har Sinai, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us kedushin, which was the luchos, right? So we were married, and Baruch Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu broke the luchos before we got the ring. So we didn't. The marriage wasn't consummated. Otherwise, we would have all been Chayim Misa. Klal Yisrael would have been all Chayim Misa. So it's like. The chassan coming to the badekin, right? So you know the chassan comes, not by svardim, by Ashkenazim. So the chassan, the dance, the father-in-law, they dance him. The girl's sitting there, right? And he puts the veil over her head. So this was like Moshe Rabbeinu was coming down with the luchos. So he was coming to Klal Yisrael to do the badekin, and imagine he comes to the badekin, and the kala that he's coming to the badekin, she's with another guy, in an embrace, and another guy. I mean, what more embarrassing, what heart, what more hurt, what more pain could you give to a chassan who's walking to the badekin and his kala is sitting there and she's in an embrace with another guy? That's what happened. Because Baruch Hu sent Moshe Rabbeinu, he was a shliach, and he came down and he said, where's the kala? I hear the kala's up this, I hear a noise, I hear dancing. What's going on over here? And Yahushua said, I don't know, I think there's maybe a war. You know, maybe, you know, something's going on. The mother-in-laws are fighting, you know, by the badekin. Maybe they're fighting with each other. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, no. That's not the sound of war. So Hashem said, I want to destroy Klal Yisrael. I'm out of this marriage. She's by the badekin. I'm not staying in this marriage. Finished. They're going to be destroyed. So there's a medrash, a neyudik medrash. So Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, you're 100% right. For the chassan to walk out, everyone would say, yeah, he's crazy if he stays. Crazy by Deccan? Come on. Right? He's crazy. Moshe Rabbeinu said, do me one favor, Hashem. Before you walk out, find yourself another kala. Find another kala. Find another girl. Find another kala. So go around the world. You're right. You should destroy Klal Yisrael. They deserve to be destroyed. But you don't want to be left alone. A king without people has no kingdom. A man without a wife has no marriage. So if you're the king, right, a parent without children is not a parent. So you're not an Avinu, you're not a Malkeinu. So go into the world, the Medrash says, he said to Hashem, God, go into the world and pick another nation instead of the Jewish nation. Go check out all the other ones and then come back. And if you find one, then we're out of here. Because Baruch Hu came back and said, I went through the whole world, I'll keep them. Because as bad as they are, what they just did, as bad as that is, they're a million times better than anything else in the world. So maybe, and our tefillah should be to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're in Golos. So it's not like Noach in the times of the Mabul, where he wasn't in Golos. We're in Golos. We don't make rules. We don't make laws. And maybe this whole thing happened to remind the Jews of New York and the Jews of America, you're not in charge. Everybody thought, we're in charge. We own the senators. We put Cuomo in, right? He's our governor, right? We made all the parties. He was invited to all the big conventions, right? He's our guy. So we're not really in Golos. We're not servants. We're not in Golos.
we're free, and we're controlling a little bit what's going on. So we just got smacked in the head, and Hashem said, look what you're controlling. There's one Aveira, there's nobody in this room would ever agree to such a thing. Guess what? You had no choice. They didn't ask you to vote. Nobody in here voted. They didn't ask us to vote. We didn't have a choice. So maybe the lesson of this whole vote is to let you know, yeah, you're in the filth and the dirt. You're in Gullus, and there's going to be marriages, and there's going to be pictures on buses in New York on Avenue J, and there's going to be pictures on the walls, and there's going to be pictures in newspapers, and there's going to be pictures everywhere of men that got married to men. And you're going to have to bring your kids up. You are in deep trouble. You are in deep, deep Gullus. And maybe if the Jews realize that they're in deep Gullus, they're going to daven harder that Hashem should take us out. She wrote me the story. I don't know if you remember the story. She wrote here. She mentioned it. So she listens to all my shirim because she picked out from each one a little teeny story. There's a very famous story that's mamish what I'm talking about. So there's a story about this guy, a farmer. He's walking. It's a little bit disgusting story, but whatever. He's walking down the road. And, you know, if you ever went to Switzerland, so the cows and everything, let them on the road, and they defecate on the road, and they just leave it there. It's not like New York, right? You don't have that law. Just the opposite. The farmers come and they collect it, and they use it for their gardens because it's very good fertilizer. So this guy's walking down the road, and he sees this pile of fertilizer, and there's a thorn coming out of the pile. He's like, what? What's that, right? And it sounds like a bird is singing. And he's looking at this pile on the side of the road, and he hears singing. So he bends down, and he takes his tools, whatever, and he starts to separate this pile. And there in the middle of this pile of manure from a cow is this little bird. And it's singing. He's like, oh my goodness, this poor bird was sitting on the road. A cow went by. Nebuch. Bird never knew what hit him. Right? Poor bird, I got to save him. So he takes the bird home, and he washes it, and he cleans it, and he puts it into a beautiful cage, and he gives it food. And the bird is not chirping anymore, and it's not singing. In fact, it's miserable. It's a mushel. I'm not telling you that it's a true story. It's a mushel. So he doesn't know what's going on. It doesn't eat. It doesn't sing. It's miserable. So in town, they have this bird special guy who's able to talk to birds. So he calls him and he says, you got to talk to my bird. Here I go ahead. I save this bird's life. He's under a whole pile over there, Nebuch, the poor bird. And I wash him and I clean him and I feed him and I bring him in a beautiful clean cage. You got to ask him why he's not singing. So the bird talker comes into the house and he walks over to the cage. He says, little birdie, what's up with you? This guy's the nicest guy in the world. He saved you. He cleaned you up. He washed you. He gave you a cage. What's wrong with you? And the bird says, he did something for me? Are you kidding me? Do you know that after that cow passed me, I was in this, like, cocoon? And it was warm. And it was comfortable. And it was soft. Why'd he do this to me? He took me out, and he washed me with cold water, and now I'm in a cage. I'm not covered, and I'm not protected, and it's not warm in here like it was warm in the cow's manure. This guy's looking at the bird. He says, are you nuts? Are you crazy? In cow's manure, you're singing? And in a bird cage, you're on a starvation diet? You're mishugging a bird. It's a crazy story. No one in here was like, no, I could not be that bird. There's something wrong with that bird. Something very wrong with that bird. That's the mushel. The nimshel is no. We're in Gullus. We're in a mound of manure. We live in New York City, the lowest place where all this stuff started in the 1970s. All this stuff of the whole United States started in the village in New York City on Horatio Street. We live in the filth and the dirt. We live in the roots of the dirt. lesbianism, the women's, the whole thing started by a woman politician in New York. I don't want to say her name. She happened to have been Jewish. She's not alive anymore. Started with her. All the dirt and the filth that's in the world, New York City, Times Square, start New York City. All that stuff, New York City. And that's where we live. And I have to admit that when someone says to me, Rabbi Wallerstein, pick up everyone from Ornava, pick up your family, and go to Beit Shemesh in Israel, I'm thinking, I don't know the language that well. My kids are not going to get along in school over there. The food, every time I go there, weekend, I'm like, my stomach is shot, right? In the summer, it's 120 degrees in the shade. Half the places don't have air conditioning. We're comfortable in the manure. We got comfortable in the manure. So we're not any different than the bird. And instead of thanking Hashem, and instead of wanting Hashem to take us out of here and clean us up, we're very, very happy. So I think what happened here might have been a little shock treatment to tell us, to make us realize where we really are. And maybe to daven, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we still, even though we're in this city, that we, Baruch Hashem, we have shuls, and we have schools, and we have tznius, and we have weddings to go to. One of my friends told me, like, I think he went last night to 4 weddings. Hashem, normal weddings. Where someone said, Hari at mekudeshesli, you're holy to me. Not chas v'shalom, what those mushchasim are saying. So, there are many, many messages in what's going on right now. And I think that the message, I think the protest that a person has to make, at the beginning I was going to rip my jacket and scream and yell in front of you, shock treatment, everyone's going to walk out. Oh my God, right, Wallerstein ripped his shirt. She's right, it's not what Hashem wants. Because it's not proactive. Okay, you ripped your shirt, now what? Proactive is to daven a little bit more, to be a little holier, I'm not allowed to talk about tznius, because tznius is a very, people don't want, first of all, men to talk about it, and second of all, everyone's different, and everyone's very picky, and when any rabbi in Kiruv knows, that's the one subject you don't talk about, because you're going to lose everybody that you talk to, because I once said over here that a woman's Torah is tznius. I never got so many anti-emails in my whole life. Never in my life did I get. I just made a comment. I said, it's brought down that a woman's Torah, she's not mechayev in learning Torah, so her tznius is her Torah. I got emails from very religious people, mechaneches, our learning in school, you're demeaning our Beis Yaakovs and our education and all our learning. It doesn't mean anything just because a girl wears a long dress, right? That's you're such a male chauvin. I got crazy stuff because I said that. So that's like a subject that you're not allowed to talk about. But the bottom line is, That parrots, what they're doing, right? This man and man, all the filth, you can't walk. You can't go to Manhattan. You can't, if you're a religious, you can't go to Manhattan. If you're a guy, you can't walk. Forget Manhattan. You can't walk on Avenue J. You can't walk on Avenue J. It's not normal, and it's affecting our kids. There was a girl that walked past me on Avenue J and said hello. And you know, you have peripheral vision. And I'm like, I'm not turning and looking at her, because in my peripheral vision, I'm like, this girl is not fully dressed. So she said hello, and I'm thinking, this ain't no Jewish girl. This girl just got off a bus, who knows from where. And she's like, Rabbi Wallerstein, don't you recognize me? And I'm like, well, I don't really know. And then she walks in front of me. It was one of my students on Avenue J. I would never dreamt that someone could be dressed like that and be a Jewish girl. So yeah, it's affecting everybody, and it's affecting. So the only thing we could do is each person on their own to take on something. I'm not telling you to do something crazy, but to take on something extra. That is your protest to Hashem. You are telling Hashem, it bothers me, and instead of just talking about it and ripping my clothing and sitting on the floor, I'm doing something about it. And if every single person takes an extra piece of Torah, an extra piece of davening, I think personally, and not only by girls, by boys also, I think personally that when you're being attacked in the moral world about moral things, the anti of this is to do more moral things, not immoral things. When something's being immoral, it's to do more moral. So the boys, I told them, Shmiras Einayim,
that since they're attacking us like this, you have to watch your eyes, and you can't. You have to watch where you go, and you have to watch what you watch on the screen and whatever you're watching. We have to take on more Shemiras Anayim. And I think that if all of us do that, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make him very happy, and he'll see that with all our pitfalls, and we're not the perfect nation, and we make a lot of mistakes, and we do things that are wrong because that's the normal. We're human beings, but the bottom line is, by far, we are the best. And as we become better and better, we're becoming the best and more the best. And I think individually we have to be the best, and I think as a nation we have to be the best. And that has a lot to do with this week's Pasha. Because why would I talk about it if it has nothing to do with this week's Pasha? It has a lot to do with this week's Pasha. This week's Pasha, a terrible thing happened. Two things happened. One, a chamor opened its mouth and spoke. Right? There was a very funny rabbi. I'm not making any jokes, though. There was a very funny rabbi, and he got up, and he wasn't getting along with the president of the congregation. So he said, you know, this week's parsha it's an easy subject for me to talk about. It talks about a donkey opening its mouth and speaking. You know, we have such things in our shul, too. And it's a famous story. It was a very big rabbi, and he was a very powerful rabbi, and whatever. And, he got fired. But this is a famous, very, very famous story. Everyone knows this story, but I don't think anyone understands the very deepness of the story. Why a donkey had to talk? Why did a donkey have to talk? At the bottom line, Bilam could have seen the malach, right? And then the malach could have talked. Why did a donkey have to talk? So, there's two parts of this parasha the first part I want to talk about short, but it's very, very important. I talk about it all the time. Let me take you through this little discussion of this donkey, who right away, by the way, right after this story died. And the reason he died was because he would have become an Avodah Zarah, talking donkey. Everybody would have come and served him as an idol. And also we don't know where he's buried because people would go there for, I don't know, brachos, you know. Go to the talking donkey. So we don't know where the donkey is, but we know that he died right after this situation happened. But let's take a look at what happened over here. So Hashem told Bilam not to go, right? So Bilam, Vayakam Bilam Baboker, Vayachavosh Asoinoi, he put a saddle on his donkey, Vayichraf Alokim, and Hashem was angry, he hailechu because he told him not to go. Vayitziatse Malach Hashem Baderech, by the way, the Malach was the Malach Michael. Was standing in the way of the Satan lo to stop him. And he was riding on his donkey. Ushneina Arav Imo. I once gave a share on the Shneina Arav. We're not going to talk about that. And he had two boys walking with him. And the donkey saw the Malach of Hashem. There was a Malach standing. It looked like a person to the donkey. And he had his sword in his hand. And the Asan went to the side, and he went in the field. And Bilam hit him, right? He hit him. To put him back on. So the Malach went and blocked him over there. He was trapped. And he saw the Malach. He got scared. He squeezed Bilam's leg. Actually, Bilam, after this story, became a limp. He couldn't walk, right? He broke his leg. He squeezed his leg against the wall. He hit the donkey again. And again the Malach blocked him. And this time, there was no way around. He sort of collapsed under Bilam, the donkey. And I guess he threw him. And he hit the donkey a third time with the stick. Now that was it. The donkey had enough. Three times you hit me. Hashem opened the mouth of the donkey by talking to Bilam, and the donkey said to Bilam, "Ma asisi lecha? What did I do to you? That you hit me these three times." So there's many kashas here. Why didn't Bilam say, "Oh my gosh, my donkey just spoke to me," right? No reaction. What about the two guys that were walking there? Why didn't they say, "Oh my goodness, the donkey's talking"? Now Bilam's just picking up and starts talking back to the donkey. He should have first said, "I'm the magician. How are you doing this? Right? How are you talking?" Nothing.
like an everyday occurrence. It wasn't an everyday occurrence. It was the only time, it says in the Pirkei Avos, right, it was created to appear awesome to talk once. That's it. He never spoke before. Bilam didn't have a talking donkey. So he didn't even say anything, which we'll explain in a minute. Okay. So he said to him, why'd you do this? Vayomer Bilam la'asan. Bilam answers the donkey, ki yisalalt bi, because you mocked me. You mocked me. You stopped in the middle of the derech. Okay. Lu yesh cher biyadi, you're lucky I have a stick in my hand. Because if I had a sword in my hand, ki ata harticha, I would have killed you. You're lucky I have a stick, so I hit you. If I had a sword, I would have killed you. But Tomer Asin al Bilam, they're having this little discussion. Bilam's still not like how you're talking, right? But Tomer Asin al Bilam, this is very important to all of us. And the donkey said to Bilam, Hallo, anochi asincha sherachafti olai me'odcha ada yamazeh. Aren't I the donkey that you rode on from day one until now? Hahaskein haskanti lasis l'chako. Have I ever done this to you before? Vayomer, and Bilam said, lo, you're right, you never did this to me before. Ladies, why don't the donkey just tell him what's going on? Bilam, how do you learn the story? Bilam is saying, I don't understand you. You're my donkey. He was actually married to this donkey, the Medrash says. It was his wife. It's not funny. He was the lowest being on the world. To do his kishuf, to his black magic, he had to do, the more tumah, the more low life you are, the more power you have in the dark world. So the Medrash says he was married to her. This was his wife. Okay? This was his wife. So they had physical relations. This was his wife. So she's saying to him, I've always been there for you. Whatever you want, I've always been there for you. So if I'm always there for you and all of a sudden I stop, maybe I did it for you. Why didn't the donkey tell the truth? Idiot! You're supposed to be the big sorcerer. You're a blind idiot. There was a malach in front of me with a sword. He would have killed us both. Is that what happened, everybody? Yes. So why didn't he tell him the truth? Why didn't the donkey tell him why he did what he did? What are you into the whole love affair? Aren't I your love? We've been together forever. I've never done this before. That's not why you did it. You did it because it was a malach that wanted to kill both of you. So if you're talking already, donkey can't lie. Right? So if you're talking, say the truth. You are a fool. You didn't see the malach. I see the malach. What are you getting into this whole love affair? Did I ever hurt you? I've always been there for you. Come on. Right? It's a very big kash. It's not my kash. At this point, discussion over. I'll explain to you why. Vayigal Hashem is any Bilam. Hashem uncovered the eyes of Bilam. Vayaras HaMalach Hashem Nitzah Baderech. And all of a sudden, he saw the Malach. V'chavo Shlufu B'yado. And he saw the sword. Vayikoy V'yishtachal Apov. And he jumped on the ground and he bowed down in front of the Malach. Vayomer Elov Malach Hashem. Now the Malach met Bilam. Instead of asking Bilam, Hashem told you not to go. Why did you go? That's what he should have said. What are you doing here with your donkey? Hashem said not to go. Why did you go? No. Now the Malach gets involved in this whole romantic situation. Right? And the Malach says, Amai kisses asoincha. Why did you hit your donkey there, Shalosh Regalim, these three times? It's not fair what you did. I was there. That's why he moved. So now the Malach is making excuses for the donkey. Malach, tell him. What, I was supposed to kill you. You weren't supposed to go. Oh, now the Malach said, he's explaining the donkey. That's what's going on over here. But they continue. The Malach is making even a bigger excuse. He said, Vatirani ha'asan, and your donkey saw me. Vatate lefon azel shalosh regolim, and he moved away from me three times. Ulai natsa mipana ki ata gam oischa rakti vo'oise echeyesi. Had your donkey not moved out of the way, I would have killed you, said the Malach, and I would have let her live. Instead of now, I'm going to kill her, and I'm going to let you live. Why is the Malach getting involved? Now listen to Bilam's answer. Vayomer Bilam, phone's off. You forgot to put, so you know what, just leave it.
I really told you that.
Yeah? Okay, fine. Because they'll take it off Torah anytime. Fine. They're not going to know what I'm talking about. I'm in the middle of nowhere.
I know.
Okay.
So, all those who are listening to Carl Lushan, we're in the middle of talking about Bilam and his donkey. So, listen to this. So that's what the Malach tells him. I would have killed you, and I would have let the donkey live. Now I'm going to kill the donkey and let you live. So now Bilam feels very bad. Listen carefully. So this is their whole discussion right now. They're not talking about Hashem, why you went. Hashem told you not to go. So Bilam answers the Malach. Chatasi. You're right. I didn't treat her right. No. It's not what he said. Chatasi. I have sinned. Why? Ki lo yodati ki ata nitzav likrosi badarach. Because I didn't know that you were standing in the way. Va'ata, and now, im rabbeinecha shuvali, and if it's bad, what I'm doing, that I'm not listening to Hashem, I'll go back. What was his sin? His sin was that he didn't see the Malach? That was his sin? Was sin? We just got finished. They just had a discussion. And he told them, what you did wrong is, you beat up a donkey that didn't deserve it. So instead of Bilam getting up and saying, Chatasi, I sinned, that this poor donkey that loves me so much, I beat it, and I beat it, and I beat it, and all it was trying to do was save my life, I'm mamish not a mensch. That's not what he said. He said, Chatasi, what's my sin? That I didn't see you. Story with my Rosh Hashiva. I'll tell you a cute story when I was in Beishraga. So one of my Rosh Hashivas, so he comes to school. He's a little bit late to the shir. He comes in, he sits down. He says, boys, you know why I'm late? I just got a ticket for going through a red light. Do you want to hear the story? So we're all sitting there. Rebbe just got a ticket for going through a red light. He said, I went through the red light. I was thinking. He's an Eloy. He was like, his head was somewhere else. He says, I went through the red light and the policeman stopped me. And the policeman said, Rabbi, didn't you see the red light? And he said, I told the policeman, I saw the red light, but I didn't see you. So the same thing over here. The same thing over here. He's saying, after all this whole story, he's telling the Malach, what did I do wrong? Not that I beat my donkey that didn't deserve it. That's not what I did wrong. What I did wrong is I didn't see you. That's what I did wrong. He missed the whole point. Like many shirim that I give, people miss the whole point. They take this little story and they take, you know, my story with the girl with the red light, you know, and I'm giving this whole story with the girl with the red light, and she changed her whole life in 40 seconds, and she went from marrying Vinny, and in the end she married a Rav Aharon LeChassid, and it's like the craziest, my craziest story is called the red light story, and it makes more Baal Tshuvas. It's my most powerful story, and I'm talking in the five towns, and I'm telling how this girl who was marrying Vinny, and her name was Mary, and she became Miriam, and she was in her wedding dress, and she ended up in shul. Well, you know the story. And the whole, her whole life changed, and then these seminary girls came to her house, and she was in her wedding dress from the time that she was marrying Vinny, but she fixed the sleeves and everything, and she's staying there with the six kids by the candles, and she's lighting, and everyone's crying, and I'm giving this shir. Everyone's crying. Oh my gosh, this girl from going to a church on Shabbos, she ends up in Rav Aharon, and she's from, and she has six kids, and it took her 45 minutes to light candles, and I'm crying when I tell the story, and everyone's crying, and then I finish the story. I was in the five towns, and I finish the story, and these four ladies come running up to me, and they're like, Rabbi Wallerstein, you made up that story. It's a lie. I'm like, excuse me. First of all, if you think so, don't, you shouldn't say that you think so. But I did not make up that story, and it's not a lie. Why are you saying that? And they're like, it's impossible. It couldn't have happened. I'm like, I know it's far-fetched to go from marrying Vinny, right, to marrying a Rav Aharon LeChassid in Meir Shearim. I know that's crazy. But things like that, when Hashem, you know, you have 40 seconds, your red light, you could change your whole life. The most amazing changes, right? Look at me. I changed my whole life. I wasn't marrying Vinny, but I changed my whole life. Big time. Somebody once asked me when I said that story, were you Vinny? Did you become a Baal Tshuva? Some people have very funny imaginations. Anyway, so they come up to me and they're all aggravated. You ladies understand this, men don't understand this. So I'm like, why do you think I made up this story? And they're like, it could not have happened. My, why couldn't it have happened? Listen, Rabbi, you said that she was marrying Vinny. She was wearing a wedding gown, right? I thought, yeah. You said that when she was lighting candles, she had three little boys and three little girls. She had six children. I said, yeah. You said, there's no way that after having six kids, she could fit into that wedding band.
This is a true story. I'm not making up the story. It's a true story. So I'm standing there, and I'm saying, I just told you the most amazing spiritual, emotional story, and they're sitting there saying, no. Can't be. You can't have six kids that have the same dress. It doesn't work, right? So you're laughing. I walked out that night, I'm like, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I cannot tell a better, more emotional, more life-changing story. And these four women, all they were focused on was, and there were other times where I say the story, where I didn't, and they're saying, like, it can't be true, because when, I'm sure the gown she was marrying Vinny in cannot be the same gown that she's lighting candles in, because I'm sure she didn't have sleeves, and I'm sure it wasn't covered, and I'm like, that's not the important part of the story. Of course she had it fixed, and of course she had the sleeves made longer. Who cares? Who cares? So in this story, it's exactly the same thing. It's exactly the same thing. Who in this room cares about hitting a donkey? Hit it 6 times, hit it 9 times, hit it 5 times. Okay, if you work for PETA, you're angry. Why did they put this in the Bible? He abused his animal. You know, we'll have a whole thing, a whole outside. They'll be running around like, rip that out of the Bible. You know, abuse of an animal. Right, there's people in the Torah got killed, got this, got that. Who cares that? But the donkey got hit, right? So why is the Torah talking about this? We're a malach. And in the end, Bilam doesn't own up to it. He says, I have sinned. And we're expected to say, I beat an animal that didn't deserve it. It saved my life. No, he says, my sin was, he missed the whole story, like those women. My sin was that, hey, I didn't see you, Rabbi. I didn't see you, policeman. I saw the red light, but I didn't see you. That was my sin. No, your sin is you went through the red light. Not that you didn't see the policeman. What's going on here? So what's going on here is like this. And that's why the Torah gives it so much time. Hakaras Hatov. This is the story in the Torah to teach us appreciation. Imagine an animal is given the power of speech, which is not given to an animal. One time in the Torah. Why? Why do we need this animal talking altogether? Bang into the wall, hit him, bang into the wall, and then he sees the malach, and the malach will tell him, do you know why he banged into the wall? Because this is what he told him. Why does the donkey have to talk? And the answer is that this stupid donkey is a lot smarter than a lot of us. Because this donkey, his whole speech in the Torah is, I have always been there for you. How can you do this to someone who has always been there for you? That's the whole speech. That's what he tells him. That's his whole speech. Hashem opened up a donkey's mouth to scream into our ears from an animal? Hakar Satov. Our parents, they bring us up. They do everything for us. They try. No one's perfect. And then the minute they say no, finished. We whack them. No, we don't physically whack them. We whack them by our behavior. And the parents say, but Shefula, when you were burping and you were sick in the middle of the night and you had fever when you were 1 year old and 2 years old and 3 years old and 4 years old and 5 years old, 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 and 10, I took care of you, I dressed you, I fed you, I burped you, I stayed up all night with you, I went to the doctors, I did everything, I held your head when you threw up in the toilet. And now all of a sudden when you're 14, I'm telling you that I don't want you to wear this dress, I don't want you to do that. You hit me, and then you hit me, and then you hit me, not physically. And that's what this donkey was saying. I've been there for you your whole life. So if I am not the way I always am, and I'm squashing your foot, and I'm turning a little bit different, I'm saying no to you, and I'm not giving you everything that you want, but if I've always been there, then maybe there's a reason. Then maybe there's a reason. Why did you hit me all these times? And that's all the donkey said. And all the malach said, he said, let's not talk about Hashem, Bilam. Let's not talk about you going against Hashem. I want to talk about what you did to this donkey. You're a kafui type. This donkey's always been there for you. So it went a little bit off the derech, so you're smacking it over the head. Bilam, Harasha, didn't get it. He said, you're right, I'm sorry. I am so sorry. For what? That I didn't see you, malach. Because he was in Russia. So he didn't understand Hakaras HaTov. He's not a Jew, he's a Russia. He doesn't understand appreciation. So even after a malach, and this This is what Shimshon Pinker said. It's amazing. Even after a malach, girls, can stand in your face. A malach can stand in your face and tell you, how could you treat your parents like this? How could you treat Hashem like this? Your whole life is there for you. So now if something didn't turn out right, all of a sudden it's finished. I'm done. I'm not davening anymore. I'll teach him a lesson. I'm shortening my skirt. I'm texting on Shabbos. I'll teach God a lesson. I'm angry. And a malach can tell you, what are you doing wrong? And you still can't get it. And you still don't see it. And it's like, oh, the problem is, I didn't see you, malach. But we as Jews, this is the parasha in the Torah of Hakaras HaTov. And where do you learn it from, girls? A donkey. A donkey. And Hashem made the biggest miracle. It's one of the 10 miracles he had to create it. Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos, when he created things that were not natural. The mouth of the earth, the mouth of the donkey. All the special things in the world. The aisle of the Akedas Yitzchak. Look at the 10 things he created. All the most special things. And part of that was the mouth of a donkey to teach us Jewish humans that there's a thing called Hakaras HaTov. And if Hashem is there for you all the time, and now you don't think he's there for you, maybe there's something in the way. Maybe he had to do that to save your life. And the pain that you're going through was to save your life. And how do you come to that? By understanding. He's letting me breathe. He's letting me see. He's letting me think. He's letting me walk. He's letting me smell. He's giving me all my five senses. He's letting me go to the bathroom. I'm not on a respirator, chas v'shalom. I'm not on a bedpan. I don't have bed sores. I'm able to walk out of the hospital. I'm able to walk outside. I'm able to breathe when I walk out of Or Navatan. He does all this for me. So this one thing he doesn't do for me, whack! God, you're no good. Hashem's saying, listen to the Pia Asam. The Pia Asam is saying, but I've always been there for you. You're right. You're right. I hurt your foot. I squashed your foot. But I had to squash your foot to save you from something else. So when a person has Yisurim, when a person goes through pain in his life, he has to be just as smart. He has to learn from the Asan. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always there for me, and right now I don't think he was there for me, so maybe this happened to save me from something else. And when my parents are not exactly saying yes to everything I want, but Lamaisa, they were always there for me, so then maybe it's me. Maybe it's not them. If they were never there for me, okay. If they were there for me, all of a sudden they're saying no about certain things, then maybe it's taka for my good. That's Parshas Balak, this whole Parsha of the Chamor, that's the reason that it's here. And that's why Hashem opened the mouth of a donkey. It's a Nari de Gepshat. We don't have time because I'm already stretched in the beginning reading this. So I'm not going to go to the second part. We'll talk next week about the whole sin of Klai Yisrael at the end of this week's Parsha, where 24,000 people died, who happened to have been the 24 Gilgulim, 24,000 Gilgulim of all the people that had a bris milah in Shechem, and it ended up coming through Shimon. Okay, we're not going to get to it. I want to finish. I just want to prove you what I'm saying. So, the importance of Hakaras HaTov. Hakaras HaTov makes a Jew a Jew. If a person doesn't have Hakaras HaTov, he's not a Jew. There's something wrong. If a person doesn't have appreciation, doesn't appreciate. I know Rabbi Kron spoke about it today up in the mountains. He said a story. I didn't hear the whole story, but he said a story about this. He went on a trip somewhere, and there was this guy, a steward, on the plane who took care of him. He needed a bigger seat, he needed to switch a seat, whatever it is. This steward took care of Rabbi Kron. Didn't know who he was, took care of him. So Rabbi Pesach Kron wrote this steward, this guy that was working on the plane, he wrote him a beautiful thank you letter. You're always there for me, and you're should be proud, the company should be proud, whatever it is. What happened? This guy messed up a trip. I don't know what he did, but he messed up one of the planes he was on. He made a mistake, whatever it was, and they brought him up, the airline brought him up to be judged that if he should be fired or not. What saved him from being fired was the letter that Rav Pesach Kron wrote him. Pesach said the story today. So he sent an email to Rav Pesach Kron, I think maybe last week even, thanking him, you just saved me my job. I don't know you, right? He says, because your letter of many years ago that you thanked me of representing the company, and I, of course, forwarded that to them, right? So since I had that in my file, they said, okay, you messed up once, but you, by the Jews, the religious Jews, we got a good name from you. Hakaras HaTov saved the guy's job. A thank you. Hakaras HaTov is a very Jewish thing. So I want to end with this in Bereishis, right? So what happened? We know, everyone knows that, that's us guys, we know, you blame your wife for everything. That started, it's not our fault. We always blame our wives because that's how the world started. Hashem said, did you eat from the tree? So instead of saying, I did, or I didn't, we said, the lady that you created, that you gave to me, she gave me from the tree. Right? We blamed you right away. We didn't even answer the question. It's her fault. It's always been her fault since the beginning of the world. It's her fault. Right? So, because we did that, Rashi says, it was a kafli tov. We shouldn't have thrown it in God's face. We should have said, right, I'm sorry, Hashem, I didn't know my wife gave it to me. But what we said to Hashem was, the wife that you gave me, she gave me from the tree. So we sort of, it's sort of like your kid has a brand new suit and he's ready to go on Shabbos to shul. And then he says, mommy, can I have a scoop of ice cream? And you're such a nice mommy. You know, it's in the morning and Shabbos and it's hot. And you give him a scoop of ice cream and he drops it all over his whole brand new shirt and his new suit. And you're like, Chayamo, what did you do? And he's like, I didn't do nothing. You did it, mommy. And you're like, what are you talking about? You gave me the ice cream. That's pure kafli tov. That's unappreciative. In other words, it's your fault I gave you ice cream. So I gave you the car. You cracked it up. It's my fault. Because you gave me the car. I was trying to be nice to give you the car. So that's what happened over here. And Rashi says that Adam was a kafli tov. What are you saying? He said to Hashem, the girl that you gave me that I shouldn't be lonely, look what she did to me. Don't throw that back in my face, Hashem said. I gave her to you to take care of you. So she made a mistake. So say, my wife made a mistake. Don't say the girl that you gave, the ice cream you gave me, it's your fault, right? So he's called a kafli tov. So I just want to read you this pasuk. The last pasuk, right, says the following. And we'll let you go. So Hashem says all their punishment, right? So Hashem says the following. You're going to work very hard. You're going to return to the ground. You're going to die. Ki afar ata. For you are dust. Afar, dust. Vel afar tashuv. You come from dust and you're going to dust. Were we created from dust? No. If you look in the beginning of Bereshit, Hashem said he took from the Adama and he created the human, not afar. So now we're being called Afar, right? After Hashem asked us to name our wife, and I always tell the story, after your wife just got you to die, right? You were supposed to live forever, and now she got you thrown out of Gan Eden, and because of her, you're going to die. Now Hashem says, okay, now give this beautiful woman a name. She just mamish massacred me. So I would say, Misa Mishana. We'll call her Misa Mishana, right? She brought death. I'm not giving her a nice name, right? But he learned that he made a big mistake, that he was a kafli tov, so he focused, he fixed it, and he focused on her good. So he said, Chava, ki im kol chai. She's the mother of all life. That's not true. She's the mother of all death. Until she ate from the Eitz Hadas and gave me from the Eitz Hadas, we're supposed to live forever. Now that she did this, we're all going to die. So he should have said, if he wasn't still a kafli tov, he should have said to Hashem, Misa Mishana, she brought Misa to the world. No, he called her Chava. He learned his lesson. He said, it's true. She brought death to the world. But she's Eim Kol Chai. Her punishment, her curse is that she's going to have to go through labor. And she's going to have to be pregnant for 9 months. And she's going to have to go through this her whole life. She's going to suffer. So instead of focusing on what she did to me, I'm going to focus on her pain. And I'm going to have a Karsa Tov that I don't have to give birth. And I don't have to get pregnant. And I don't have to go through all this. So Chava, ki Eim Kol Chai. Hakaras Hatov, that the woman is taking the child bearing and the child birth on her, and I don't need to do it. Right? What's the next pasuk? Vayomer Hashem Elokim Hein HaAdam. Right? HaAdam. What does the name Adam come from? It comes from the word Adama. What's the difference between Afa and Adama? Who cares? Hashem created us from Adama, and now after we talked about our wife that way, and we didn't appreciate, he's calling us Afar. Ladies, what's the difference between Adama and Afar? Anyone here know? What's the difference between the word Afar and the word Adama? What? Dust. Nothing grows in Afar. Nothing. Dust. You can have dust piled up till here and put seeds in it, nothing will grow. Adama, Hashem created this miracle thing which nobody even thinks about, right? There's a world, not the water world, but the land world, a whole world of land. And the DNA of that land, everybody, is that whatever seed you put into this fertile land, whatever you put in there, that's what's going to grow. Put a tomato in it, tomato grows. Cucumber, cucumber. Flower, flower. Weed, tree, whatever it is. It's the most amazing thing. Dirt, adama, is the most amazing thing in the world. Whatever you put in it, it doesn't choose. Oh, I only do tomatoes. I'm the ground that only grows tomatoes. I'm the ground that only grows. Whatever you put into that adama, it grows. You want to put a flower in? You got a flower. With a cucumber, you got a cucumber. It's amazing. Adama is potential of the world. It's adama, and that's why we are called adam. Because every person in this room has the most amazing growth possibilities. So we are called. It's the name we were given. It's not a bad name. Adam, you're from the earth. Whatever you put in, that's what's going to grow. Whatever you bring in, you're going to bring in Facebook, you're going to grow up to be a Facebook. You're going to bring in the internet, you're going to grow up to be internet. You're going to bring in movies, you're going to end up growing to be a movie. That's what you're going to be. Whatever you bring in with your eyes, with everything, that's what you grow to be. You bring in Torah and spirituality, that's what's going to come out. We are Adama. We are fertile. We are amazing, spiritual, fertile. Whatever you put in, that's what's going to grow. You put in weeds, you're going to have weeds. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said the following. I created you from Adama, but you only have a potential to grow if you have Hakaras HaTov. If you appreciate things, then you can grow. A person who does not appreciate can never, ever grow. I know some people in my life that have no appreciation for anything. They are empty, hollow, miserable people. A person who does not appreciate, you cannot have a relationship with any human. You cannot have a relationship with God. If you don't appreciate something, you're done. So Hashem said, May Afar, I created you from Afar, and you're going to Afar. You're going to come from nothing, and you're going to end up nothing. What comes from nothing and ends up nothing? Something that has no potential. That's Afar. That's Noah Hakaras HaTov. After he called Chava, Chava Ein Kol Chai, and he said, I appreciate my wife, even though she mamish killed me. But Lemaisa, she's going to bring children into the world, and she's going to suffer, and I'm not. And he focused on her, and he showed appreciation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu called him back to Adam. And that's this week's Parsha. And we learn it from a Chamor. How do you hit me if I've always been good to you? I don't understand that. And the Malach says to Bilam, you don't have appreciation for what your donkey did for you your whole life. You rode on it. It took you from place to place. I should have killed you. Your donkey has a Hakaras HaTov. You don't. You don't deserve to be in this world if you don't have a Hakaras HaTov. What are you doing in this world if you don't appreciate? If I give, why am I giving someone presents who doesn't appreciate it? So the Malach said, you don't have appreciation for your lowly, for your donkey? I should have killed you. So if a person wants to live long, and a person wants to grow and do things in this world, the fertile ground of growth, of potential, is a Hakaras HaTov, is appreciation. The antithesis, the anti-Hakaras HaTov, is the person who doesn't have Kivud HaVe'eim. And that's why Kivud HaVe'eim, ladies, is the reward is L'man Yiricha Yumecha. Because as long as a person has Kivud HaVe'eim, and they show the appreciation, and I know, I was abused, and I went through, my parents are dysfunctional, and my family is dysfunctional, and you're right about everything. But at the end of the day, your mother nursed you, your mother gave you a bottle in the middle of the night, she burped you, she diapered you, she changed your diaper, she dressed you. So even though after that she wasn't there for you, chas v'shalom, and you didn't have a good relationship, you owe her Hakaras HaTov for the beginning. And therefore, if you don't have that Hakaras HaTov, and you don't have that Kivud HaVe'eim, that's why that mitzvah of Kivud HaVe'eim is right in the first five mitzvahs to do with Hashem. Because guess what? If you don't have appreciation for your parents, who you can feel and you can touch, and you can go back and say, my mother did this for me, she made me sandwiches. Okay, they were sardines. Oh my God, right? She didn't know any better. But so I traded them for a bag of potato chips with some other kid that liked sardines. Nebuchadnezzar kid grew up to be a sardine. But whatever, right? I always traded my sardines. But in the end, if you can't have a curse, how are you going to appreciate God? You don't see Him. You take everything He does for granted. If you don't have Kivud HaVe'eim, then you don't have a Neicha Hashem Alekecha. And that's why they're in the same first five. If you don't have Kivud HaVe'eim for your parents, you don't have a Neicha Hashem Alekecha. That doesn't mean that you need to go home and get abused and get yelled at. Every time you speak to your mother, she puts you down to the ground. That's not a mitzvah. So don't. But call her up and say, Good Shabbos. And call her up and say, Ma, you know what? You were there for me many times in my life. Dad, you were there for me. Thank you. And then when they start in their tirade, yeah, but you're this and you're that. Good Shabbos. And hang up. There's nothing wrong with that. Girls, there's nothing wrong with that. Halachically, there's nothing wrong with that. You don't need to stay home and get abused. If Chas v'Shalom, that's it. You don't need, but you do need to say thank you. You do need to say thank you. And people don't forget. That's that. I think personally, thank you is a bigger word than I love you. When you tell your parents thank you, it means more than saying, you know, I love you, bye. Thank you, Ma. Bye is more than I love you, Ma. Because thank you means that I appreciated what you did. And if you don't appreciate, then you're just afar. And you came from nothing and you're going nowhere. And that's Klal Yisrael. We're a nation that has Hakaras HaTov. And that's why the story happened with Bilam, not with us. So my bracha to everyone here is that her bracha should come true. We won't have to make a decision. Lakewood, Jersey, New York. Hashem's going to take the decision away from us. And he's going to bring Mashiach. And he's going to bring us to Eretz Yisrael. And